All right, everybody, hope you are doing well today. So we are doing another podcast, and we are excited to have someone not new to our church, but someone new into the podcast, and that's Scott Winters. And so it's just a blessing day just to have him and get to hear you guys going to get to hear some of the work that he does for the Lord, not only in church, but outside of the church as well. So good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good. All right. So, Scott, tell us something about you and then how you came to the Lord.
Oh, wow. So I think you'll learn a little bit about me if you find out how I came to the Lord, but try to keep it short. Sometimes these get, you know, it could get real long because, you know, you've lived a lifetime. But as a kid, I grew up and I went to church and stuff like that, but we ended up going to a bad church. And through a series of events, we ended up leaving the church, and it left a really bad taste in my mouth for church and what I call church people. I didn't want anything to do with church or church people.
Wow.
And I got into a lot of trouble, man. I ended up getting arrested. I got kicked out of schools. I was kind of a hot mess. And, you know, I didn't realize until later, but that's that brokenness, right? When you're separated from God, just like in the garden when Adam and Eve decided to separate and do their own thing and follow their plan for their life instead of God's plan, you know, it creates that separation and brokenness. So I was broken. And, you know, I ended up getting shipped off to live with my dad, and he straightened me out like work ethic and got me out of trouble. And I was able to get a good job, and I got married and had kids. And, you know, I kind of had the ideal situation. Like, it was the American dream. I had the white picket fence. I had, you know, paid off house, paid off car, right. Beautiful wife, three kids. Everything was going great. But the brokenness hadn't gone away. Like, I was still empty. And, you know, we try to fill that brokenness with all sorts of stuff. We try to fill it with some people alcohol, some people drugs, some people sex. For me, it was like notoriety. It was money. I was making a ton of money. I was a senior manager, like executive level, with a big Fortune 100 company. At the peak of my career, I was fourth down from the CEO. And, you know, that was my identity, really. But it wasn't a fulfilling identity.
Wow.
It wasn't an identity connected with Christ. So I felt that emptiness, and my wife and I decided she was saved, but she wasn't really living the lifestyle. Obviously, she married an unbelieving guy, and we decided we were going to find the truth, even if we didn't like the truth. Whatever it was, I didn't want to follow something fake just because it fit or because I liked it.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't like it, whatever the truth was, I was going to follow. So we looked into all sorts of stuff. We looked into Islam and Eastern religions and the LDS church and all sorts
wow.
of stuff. And, you know, everything just kind of fell apart. Like, once you put them to the test of truth, like, stuff starts working. And kind of an interesting side story is one of the folks that was helping mentor us through in the LDS church, we call them OG Mormons because their family had, like, come across the trail, like, heritage-wise.
Yeah.
They were... Family was in the church since it started, both the husband and wife. And we were just asking questions. We wanted to understand, like, you know, if this is true. And as we started doing that, it just fell apart. And the funny thing was, not only did we decide it wasn't true, but they decided it wasn't true. And they left their family and left the church
what?
As a result of digging in to try to seek truth. And so we ultimately decided the Bible was true. And, you know, that was cool, but I still had this big contradiction because I didn't like church and I didn't like church people. I feel church people were a bunch of hypocrites.
your past was just like, I don't know, you weren't able to make that connection with God because of what you had gone through in your past.
Yeah.
Going to church, a church.
Church trauma, right? Like
yeah.
people have that.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, church trauma, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, funny side story, I'll get there. But so anyways, my wife would try to invite me to church. I wasn't going to church. And then she would... You know, we believed in the Bible and I'd read the Bible, but, you know, I didn't want to do what it said. I didn't want to submit. And so then she would invite me to barbecues and stuff. And I'm like, are there going to be any church people there? And she's like, oh, just one or two. I'm like, no, I'm not going. And so she ended up inviting a bunch of people to the house and I couldn't really leave. And so I met some legit, like genuine people that weren't perfect. They were flawed just like me. They were broken just like me.
Mm.
They loved the Lord, though, and they were doing their best to follow and submit their life and give their life to Christ. And so that kind of got to me. So I got invited to Bible studies, and I started going to Bible studies. And And slowly God just grabbed my heart. But I still had some misconceptions on things. Like I thought I was going to pray a magic prayer and like lightning was going to come from the clouds and the sky was going to open up, a dove was going to fall on me or something, right? You know? And so I remember for like 2 weeks straight, I was praying. I was like, okay, you know, God come into my heart. And then that didn't work. Nothing happened. So then I'm like, I'll try it on my knees. I'll pray this time tonight on my knees. That didn't work. I tried to lay flat, like prostrate, tried it. I'm like trying all these different ways. I'm trying to decide how God's going to come to me instead of just submitting to God, right? Yeah. So at the end of like 2 weeks, I'm all ticked off and I'm like, I'm mad at God. I'm like, God, this sucks. Like, you know, I'm trying to be your child. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to give my life to you. You don't want me. So you know what? Like, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to follow your word and do what you say. And whatever happens to me, happens to me. If you send me to hell or send me to heaven, I got no control over this. Yeah. It's all on you. I'm just going to follow you. And looking back, I realized that was really my point of submission, where I gave my life to Christ, where I said, you know, this is going to be the end of my brokenness, the end of me trying to figure out how to make it work, and my full kind of submission and release to God. And from then on, my life just changed. You know, I started trying to get involved in different things. And so the funny side story I was going to say, you know, I had church trauma. So I remember the first time they got me to come to this building, and I was like looking in all the different, I came on a church work day when nobody was here, and I'm looking in the doors behind things, like waiting to see, like, I don't know if there's a wizard back there, like the Wizard of Oz is going to jump out or something. But I was tripped out by churches, you know? And so anyways, I started getting involved, and, you know, slowly I had this call to serve, and I was trying to serve wherever I could and trying to find where God wanted me to be. And that kind of is what led me to Christian Challenge. And there's some people that came here and were trying to raise money for Christian Challenge.
I think that goes to my, first of all, just a great testimony. And I think I totally agree with you. I think you totally had your day that you're like, I can't control this anymore. God, you take over my life. And I think sometimes that's what, you know, what we need to do. Not only that day, but I think every day as well. But Scott, so tell me, I know you work for Christian Challenge. And for me, like I said, I had mentioned you before. When I heard about Christian Challenge, I was like, what's Christian Challenge? You know, and so I'm sure I'm not the only one out there and, you know, the only believer out there that doesn't know what Christian Challenge is. So what is Christian Challenge?
No, that's great. That is a perfect timing segue. So Christian Challenge is a collegiate ministry. So we work directly with and minister to college students. You know, for those that have been around in the Baptist world a long time, there used to be something called BSU, Baptist Student Union, and they kind of needed to change the name because the Black Student Union, and there was confusion. In some places, I think it's called Baptist Collegiate Ministry, but on the West Coast, they call it Christian Challenge. It's the same group. So each state is kind of run independently, but they all collaborate, and they're under their state association. So We are under our state association, but there's still some connection with the North American Mission Board and that sort of thing. So really, it's just a collegiate ministry.
So are you telling me that Christian Challenges functions in schools? Well, one would expect that having a Christian organization in a community college or a university, you'd be like, I don't think that's a good idea, or I don't think that's allowed kind of thing, you know?
Oh, it's a great idea. And I mean, they definitely, when we started... Yeah, so it's on all the universities, for example, in Arizona and throughout the United States. It's all over the place under different names, right? And on the community colleges as well. So I'm stationed at a community college here in Levine, so South Mountain Community College, and I've been there for 5 years now. Really, you know, Challenge's mission in the state, we're really set up to engage college students with the gospel. That's what we want to do. Then once we engage them, we want to develop disciples of Jesus Christ. Once they become disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to mobilize them into servant leaders for the church. We have to plug them in to a church. College doesn't last forever. And too many times in ministry or collegiate ministry, we get them all hyped up for Jesus, but then we don't get them set up to go and be part of the body, part of the church. Yeah. And when college is over and all that excitement's over, they can't reproduce that in the real world. Yeah. And then they fall away. And then the last thing, you know, part of our mission is to send missionaries to the world. And that doesn't necessarily mean missionaries like me that are full-time vocational people that are here in the States or overseas, but every one of us should be a missionary wherever we're at, in our job, to our friends, to just everybody around us. So we're developing these college students. We're engaging them. We're developing them and discipling them. We're mobilizing them into leaders for the church. And then we're sending them out into the world as missionaries wherever they might be.
Right.
So that's kind of the mission and the plan of challenge and how we do it. But to your point, like, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be on a university, right? Yeah. Well, most colleges have clubs. I mean, I think ASU has, I've heard some crazy numbers about just like engineering clubs. Like maybe they have like 30 or 40 engineering clubs. I don't know for sure. Don't quote me on that. But, but you know, there's lots and lots of clubs. We're on a really small community college campus. We have hardly any clubs. But probably the strongest club on campus is our Christian club, Christian Challenge. Mm. And I'll just say, you said, you know, it's kind of like something maybe you wouldn't expect there, or they wouldn't want you there. It was a hard-fought battle. When we first got there, they flat out told us, like, there was this one person, and he's gone now, and I won't say his name, but flat out told us, he says, we don't want you here. If we're going to have a club on campus, we want a Muslim club. We don't want a Christian club.
Oh, wow.
And he called us Wolves in Sheep Clothing, Christians, Wolves in Sheep Clothing, and did everything in his power to keep us away. But we just kept handling things with the love of God, kept loving on everybody. You know, we tried to do everything by the book. And, you know, if there was one thing we did wrong, he would catch us. You know, there was a time where we're supposed to submit a form to get permission to be on campus. And I think it had to be submitted like 48 hours in advance. And we submitted it 47 hours instead of 48 hours. Wow. And they were waiting for us in the parking lot with security. And they kicked us off campus because we didn't get our form in quick enough.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So super resistant. But, you know, flash forward to 5 years from now, and we've been diligent. We've been feeding into that school, loving the students, loving the faculty, adding value wherever we can.
Wow.
You know, now I'm an assistant basketball coach, and I know nothing about basketball. I'm really there as a chaplain. But I also got a leadership award. And from the school.
Nice, man.
And so these aren't things that I'm doing. I'll just tell you, these are things that I'm still confused about. I still don't know how God does what he does sometimes.
Yeah.
We're probably in one of the most diverse campuses out there, and I'm a middle-aged, chubby, bald, white guy, and, you know, I'm on this campus, and it's working. So, you know, we have these stereotypes in our mind, like, okay, if you're need to be a college person or a college missionary, you need to be a young person, and you need to be hip and connected and all this. And
popular. And
yeah. You know, like wear whatever the most fashionable stuff is. And God doesn't care about any of that stuff. So God takes who he wants to take, and he puts them into place and makes that happen. So, you know, we've been there now, like I said, for 5 years, and it was a scary thing. Like, so I was in that corporate job, and, you know, kind of a little bit of the faith story too, is there was some point when we were doing it part-time, and then God called us to do this full-time. And so here I'm in a corporate job supporting my family. And God's telling us that we need to quit that job and do this full-time. And I'm like, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, organizations like Christian Challenge, although some people can contribute to Christian Challenge through like a cooperative program, that goes to like the infrastructure and some buildings, and they give the missionaries a budget, that sort of thing. But all missionaries, we support raise. We have to, you know, have people provide donations to Christian Challenge under our name, and that's how we get our paycheck, right?
So,
you know, huge leap of faith to be able to say, I'm going to quit my job.
We had a secure.
Yeah.
I can imagine a good paying job.
Yeah, very good pay. I call it a unicorn job. You'll never get that job back again, right? Once it's gone, it ceases to exist. Right? So, yeah, and you know, I'm older, and I have medical stuff, and I needed health insurance, and that was part of the prayer. You know, we asked God. We said, we want to know, we hear from you that this is what you want. We also, you know, really need the security. We trust you, God, but, man, it would make it a whole lot easier if we had the security of health insurance and a way for that. And then also, we wanted our church to be behind us. We didn't want this to be a thing to where it's just we decided. So, you know, it's very important to me, and it would be very hard for me if I did not feel that we had the support of our church.
Right.
Because without that, I'm just a lone ranger. And I want to I want to know that we're making a decision that others also feel is we're in the right place and that we're called to. And all those things happened one weekend. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We really feel God speaking to us through some particular things that happened. Somebody helped us on found how we can get health insurance, actually provided us some health insurance without us even asking or without that person even knowing we were considering this. It just kind of came up and talked to us about it. And then ultimately our pastor at the time, he got behind us and he says, no, as a church, we're going to support you. We're behind you. We're going to send you out as our missionary to South Mountain Community College. This is you being sent, just like if you're being sent to Africa or anywhere else, we're sending you out as our missionary. Yeah. And he said, we'll help provide some support, you know, a little bit of support too. So, you know, it was a leap of faith and God's been faithful and there's ups and downs. There's times where there's not as much money coming in to cover everything as you would hope.
Right.
you know, and God works that out. And a lot of times it's things like, you know, helping the students. Like we provide a lot of meals for students and lunches and we do events on campus and I actually take classes on campus so I can meet students, but you still got to pay. Nice, it's $300, $350 a class, right?
Yeah.
So there's always something going on, but God is faithful. He takes care of all of that stuff. And that's why I'm just continuing.
Man, that's great.
I'm amazed.
Yeah.
How God pulls. I mean, I know he can do it, but I guess I'm amazed and humbled that he chose me and my wife to be involved in that. Because I was so against him and so antagonistic towards him that it's almost like, why would you bless me so greatly with something when I don't deserve it?
Wow.
But at the end of the day, none of us deserve
none of us
anything
do.
But death, right?
Yep, so. Yep. And I know you spoke about some of the challenges that you face on the administrative side, some of the with the schools and stuff like that. But, you know, in some sense, we just see, oh, yeah, we have Scott, who he's working, doing a Christian challenge at South Mountain Community College and doing it here, you know, doing all this work. But we sometimes don't see the whole story, and we only see one side of the coin, but not the other. And what I mean is we don't see some of the challenges that you face. You know, we get to hear some of the victories and stuff like that. So can you probably share some of those?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of examples. I have to watch myself because I can just talk all day. I got to keep myself reined in. But, you know, I think one of the hardest challenges is just to balance the day. I think people think like, wow, that must be a pretty cushy deal. He just gets to hang out all day. And, you know, how hard's it been for you to get an appointment with me to come in here, right? And so, you know, coming in here, I'm running straight from another thing because my priority has to be these students. I have, you know, it's kind of like a pastor. When that phone rings, I got to answer the phone.
Yeah.
I got to answer it in the middle of the night. I don't know that I could count probably, I mean, probably like a couple handfuls full of middle of the night calls where it's been a suicide attempt or somebody about to commit suicide. And out of all the people in the world they can call, they call us.
Yeah.
And to have to deal with that and talk people down, or somebody who's in the club who one of their friends is going to do something. So they call us and say, hey, we need help. Our friend is in this situation. And so those are hard situations. And I think just the busyness, you know, a lot of people ask, like, how can we help? And unfortunately, a lot of times it's like it's financial and that sounds bad. But the reason why is because it takes a real commitment of time.
Yeah.
And it's very hard. Like, you know, we'll serve food sometimes and we'll have people come in and help us serve food and do little things like that. But you have to build a relationship with these students.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a year, year and a half, 2 years to build a relationship. So if you're just popping in and out of their life every couple of seconds, they don't know who you are and that you haven't built trust with them. Yeah. So really it's a long-term thing. I came from the school just now to here and I was in a weight training class with a bunch of students.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm hanging out with them and talking with them. And one of the students in there were actually, we're helping with temporary housing. He got put out of his place and, you know, he was on the streets for a few days and he needed housing. And so we're helping him there.
Yeah. Let me just jump in here.
Those
that are listening, what he's saying is not just because he's just saying it. I have actually seen this room, this bed. It has, you know, everything. It has electricity, it has running water.
Yep.
And he's not making this up. He's not just saying it just because he's on the podcast. No, I've actually seen it. And I'm just astonished about how just your heart to serve God and to serve others is just, wow, incredible.
Yeah, like literally that guy is in there, you know, he came to us 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and my wife, you know, we're on a missionary salary yet, but, you know, she found ways to earn some money and save up, and she saved up some money that she had earned, and she bought that, you know? Yeah. And so... So we're just trying to help whatever, but it's really like feeding into these folks. It's helping them with their homework. It's spending time with them. In order for me to get the access that I have on campus, like I said, I take a lot of classes and I meet a lot of students, and I have to do homework, right? So, you know, I try to take classes that I'm familiar with. I have a programming background, so I take a lot of programming classes, but you know, there's a lot of details that have to get taken care of. So I'm on that campus all the time. My wife and I are with students all the time. We're doing discipleship one-on-one. So the big challenge is time. But I would say the hardest thing is, you know, God isn't, not everybody's going to get saved. And I think one of the hardest times I had was with one gentleman. We worked with him a long time. We discipled him. He knew the Bible. He knew what he needed to know, but the ways of the world were just pulling him. Mm. And I gotta make sure I don't cry on this one, but you know, one day he comes up to me and he's like, "Scott, you know, I just want to tell you face to face. I respect you. I don't want you to hear this from somebody else. I don't want to just disappear from the group without, you know, us being able to kind of have a man to man." He's like, "But I've decided to follow," and it wasn't Thor, but it was some other Nordstrom God. He's like, "I've decided to follow this." And man, I tried to talk to him, and you know, he's just mind was made up. Wow. But, you know, visually in my mind, it was like he's sinking down into hell and I'm reaching down there and trying to grab him. And I just can't hold on to his hand. And his hand is just slipping out of my hand as he's sinking down into hell. And he's choosing it. And it's so hard. Like, those ones rip your heart out. I feel worse in my heart for those type of folks. Like, yeah. Anyways, those are hard. Doesn't happen a lot. You know, a lot of times you just they're hanging around. You're talking to them, and maybe they never come to Christ. A lot of them do. You know, a lot of them don't. Like even with Paul, I used to get very discouraged. Like, God, you know, you sent me to do this. Why am I not better at it? Why aren't all these people coming to Christ? Like, right. And you know, I have to remember it's not me. It's not my power. And I got some good advice from another Christian Challenge missionary. He was talking to me and he was basically like, "Hey, read these passages here." And even Paul, when Paul would go out, and he was so articulate and he knew the words so well, the writer of, you know, half of the New Testament, 13 books, Paul's out there. And even when he was done, he would say, "And some believed and some didn't," you know?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You know, that's between like them and God. Yeah. We have to be faithful to do our part and be faithful to do our best to show them Christ through us, through our actions, through what we do and through our heart. But at the end of the day, they have to kind of figure that out. You know, them and God have to work that out. It's not something I can control. So that's some of the hard stuff, right? Now,
what about some of the blessings, the positives that you do see?
My favorite story. We have lots of stories. I mean, there's lots of successes. One of our first young ladies that came through with us, she was already saved, but I don't know if she got lit on fire by us. I kind of think it was us. But she went out and she became a missionary in South America. And she's been in South America for 3 years now. Full-time missionary, wow. And she's actually working with college students with another organization down in South America, in Mexico area. Not, I guess that's not South America, North America, but Mexico. And she's actually coming back, and she's going to help us on campus over the winter break. So that's a great story. But my favorite story is these two guys, and they happen to come here. And I think you've probably heard this story, but there was this one guy, and he was in my hip-hop history class. And he was a punk.
Who knew that was a class?
It's a class. It really is. And that works perfect for me because that's the music I grew up on. But anyways, I was just trying to take an easy class. And he's like a punk rock kid. He had pink hair. And not that there's anything wrong with different hair color, but it was just kind of funny, like stereotypically. And so I talked to this guy, and he ends up being in a group project with me. And I try to talk with him. try to invite them to everything. I invited that kid to 30 different events over the course. I mean, we're already out of the class at this point, and I'm still following up with them 6 months, a year later. So finally, he comes to Topgolf with us, and we pay for his Topgolf, and we do that. And then I get him to come to a Bible study. He comes to a few Bible studies. He's like, hey, this is okay. I have shared the gospel with him. And so then he invites his friend, but he ghosts his friend and doesn't show up. So his friend shows up at our Bible study, and I'm like, hey, who are you? And he tells me who he is. And I said, how'd you find us? And he's like, oh, my buddy invited me. I'm like, where's he at? He says, I don't know. He just left me. I was like, well, come on in. And so we invite him in, and then he starts coming into Bible study, and we disciple him. And he gives his life to the Lord, and then I baptize him, and I baptize him here and yeah. been discipling him ever since. Well, he was like, you know, I don't know if it's the Marines or what, but he's like, no man left behind, right? So he says, I'm going back for my friend. And he starts getting his friend that wasn't coming and starts bringing him to Bible study. And then his friend starts getting discipled by him and by me. Both of us are discipling his friend. And then sometime later, he ends up baptizing his friend because his friend comes to Christ as well. Wow, and gives his life yeah. to Christ. So now both of these guys have given their life to Christ. They're all in. They're loving Jesus. They're discipling others. They're helping others. They're evangelizing. They're doing all the things that they need to be doing. They're plugged in churches. They're yeah. involved. They're going yeah. to Bible studies outside of even Christian Challenge. So as they graduate, they'll be ready to just yeah. be part of
which
the body.
I saw one of them here yesterday at yeah. the men's Bible study.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite story just because persistence. Like, it's so easy to get your feelings hurt and give up on these kids. And this is why I say it's hard for somebody to just jump in and jump out. I mean, it's a long game. Yeah. I mean, 30 different events. We don't have that many events a year, but everyone we had, him and tons of others were getting invited to. And others ones didn't show up, but he finally came. Wow. So that was the one that God had ready and appointed for that time, was working on his heart, and in the way it worked out to where his friend actually had to get him and come back for him. It's just, it's crazy to me how God works, and I'm so blessed to be able to be a part of that Man. And to witness that happening.
I mean, I think what you're doing, Scott, you're being obedient to God's calling. What we are all supposed to be doing. You do this every day. You know, making disciples. You're making connection, talking with people, sharing Jesus. And this sometimes I guess we get too comfortable at church and we just live day by day. But you're out there, you know, actually talking with our young people about Jesus.
Yeah, and it's I'm not perfect, man. like, don't put me on that pedestal because the higher the pedestal, the farther the fall.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm by far not the perfect husband. I'm by far not the perfect missionary.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out day to day.
Yeah.
And I just give the glory to God because he somehow uses flawed people like myself and he works it out. Like, I'll just tell another quick story. The gentleman that stayed in our homeless pod or our temporary pod for housing, we met him a couple days ago. My wife and I, it was a Tuesday. Amy and I were supposed to table, and I was in a foul mood. We had, you know, there were some discussions that had happened and it put me in a foul mood. And I'm telling him, I'm like, I'm not tabling today. I'm like, I don't want to sit at that table and pretend like I'm happy and be a faker. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, so I'm not perfect, right?
Right.
Like, you have moments. We all have moments. And she's like, nope, we're going. And I'm like, no, we're not. You can drop me off. And she's like, she's driving. So, like, she just drove me there, right? Like, so we're going.
You're going.
So we go, and she goes to set up the table.
Right.
And I go, and I'm like, I'm just going to walk around the campus. And I walk into the bathroom, and that's where I find the kid.
Wow.
I find the kid that's in there upset and broken because he's been living on the street for a few days.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, how did God orchestrate that situation to
You're saying a bad situation or a negative
yes.
situation made that into a positive. Like, yes. Wait, what? Yes. God works in mysterious ways.
Right? Like, I'm upset and not wanting to do his work. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to make you do my work anyhow, but I'm going to give you this other one to do, right? You know, so I wasn't at the table all day. I got my wish with that. Amy took care of the table and talked to the students. And was pleasant and nice. Right. And I got to have a heart-to-heart with this gentleman and connect him with housing, and we're connecting him with resources and you know, trying to get a positive. And we hope that through this he finds Jesus or at right. least sees the love of Christians. You know, if he's had any church trauma before or negative opinions of Christians, hopefully he's going to see a different side yeah. of that now. So don't put me on that pedestal, man, because there's definitely like, you know, but
there's always room to grow.
Oh my goodness, for sure. And I think I'm blessed to be able to dedicate my full time to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm more focused on it. And I think, you know, coming from the corporate world and working 50, 60 hours a week, you know, I know how between that and then life and your family and your kids, and your family and your kids are your first ministry. Yep. You need to take care of them first, and you need to be seeking God for yourself. It's hard to then fit other people in. And I think the other thing that happens is there's a pastor, Jerry Larson, I don't know if he made it up or he took it from somebody else, but, you know, talks about the holy huddle. And we get it. We become like so involved in church that all of our friends are church friends. Mm-hmm. It's all the people we go to church with, all yeah. the people we hang out with, yep. all the people we do life with all of our church friends. So we get to a point to where we don't have very many non-Christian friends. Yeah. And so it's hard. Yeah. And you have to find ways to get out there and get involved and connect with other people and just be bold. It's, you know, it's hard to be bold, but yeah. it's just what we're called to do.
Well, thank you, Scott. I know that time goes by. I want to say thank you, and you know, for the work that you do and your heart, willing and full heart to go and serve God. And I think, guys, if you guys are listening, this is more like of an intro of what that we'll have Scott, and we're hoping to have these other two young men here on the next episode, just to hear their testimonies as well. But just continue to pray for Christian Challenge. Continue to pray for Scott and many of those. What should we say, missionaries? Or
Yeah. That's technically our titles. We're missionaries, but on all these college campuses throughout the state, you know, we're not on all of them yet, but the goal is to have missionaries on every college campus within Arizona.
Wow.
And, you know, God might be calling you or somebody you know to a college campus near
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So I know it wasn't in my plan. So
No. Well, thank you, Scott, for coming. And again, if you're listening and maybe you're in that age range of you're in college, you know, search for Christian Challenge. I don't know if you're allowed to give your phone number or not.
You can find us. We're on Instagram for sure.
Yeah. So go on Instagram or social media, or you could call our office here at church at 602-237-4885. And we'll be glad to pass you and you know, and get you connected with Scott Winters. Can you pray? Maybe we can finish this podcast by maybe you praying for some of those youth and, you know, some of those missionaries out there as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. I'm humbled to be able to come before you and speak directly to you, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you provide, the buildings that we're in and the air conditioning we have, and I always say, Lord, if you've done nothing else for us but provide our grace and the salvation for us, that would be more than enough, Lord. But you still lavish us with so many great things, Lord. Lord, I know you're in charge of everything, and Lord, we trust you. And Lord, but I would ask that you continue to just help and support and encourage our missionaries on all the college campuses and other places, Lord, mm-hmm. all over the world. The missionaries that we have in the workplace, Lord, and the missionaries that we have overseas, and the missionaries that think there aren't missionaries, but they are, because they're sharing your word, Lord, on a day-to-day basis. And just show them encouragement and build them up, Lord, and help them to know who you are and know that you're there with them, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for these students to soften hearts. Let them be receptive to when they see us at our table, or they're at an event with us, or they're engaged by another student in their classroom, or just anywhere that you happen to create those opportunities, Lord. I just pray that you soften their hearts and prepare them for us, so when we come, they're receptive to the message that we have. They're receptive to your message, Lord, and to your gospel and your grace, Lord. I just ask that you save more, Lord, and give us the time to save more and to lead them to you so you can save them, Lord. And I just thank you so much for being able to be a part of the great things that you're doing, Lord. And I just ask that despite my flaws, despite my continual failures and screw-ups, Lord, that you continue to allow me to just participate and witness the work that you're doing at South Mountain, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, and just continue to bless everyone out there, and we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.